This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Coming up on today's show, we'll hear about a program to give low-income families better access to healthy food. Joining me first to talk about what to find and where to find it at area farmers markets are Anna Bird, manager of Northside Farmers Market, Darkwood farm owner Annie Woods, and Jenny Berman, farm-to-table reporter for WCPO.com. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Anna, Jenny, and Annie, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Jenny, it seems like the Cincinnati area is just blessed with dozens of farmers markets. Why do you think that is?
Well, it is a hot spot in the country for farm to table, and it seems like the infrastructure for just all the things that come together to support a farmer's market are in place here. There's distribution, there's farmland. In Kentucky, there are tobacco growers who are looking for ways to replace that, who've gone out of the tobacco business and gone into organic farming, sustainable farming. And at the same time, the culture has kind of tipped toward, the public has become aware of organics as a value and wanting to know what's in their food. And I think that that has really shown it supports the farmers markets and makes people want to come and see where their food is from.
Anna, you have any ideas as to why we have so many farmers markets in this area? Why we've been so blessed that way?
Well, I think that's exactly right. We have a great climate for growing a lot of different things, and maybe Annie can speak to this as well. We have a pretty good growing season, but we just seem to have this core group of consumers and organizations and passionate people who are willing to put in the work to create these farmers markets. And it's, I don't know if people realize how blessed we are. Like, every single neighborhood in Cincinnati practically has its own farmers market. Every day of the week, you could go to a different farmers market. It's kind of amazing. Where I grew up in West Virginia, we had one weekly farmers market when I was growing up. I think it is. It's a desire for a different kind of eating, and we're lucky to have a lot of farmers who are interested in doing that as well.
Can I jump in with?
Sure, Jenny.
Also, we have a very, very vibrant restaurant scene here with a lot of really ambitious, often young chef proprietors, and they support farmers markets too. A lot of them are shopping at the farmers market. And they're also kind of like school for a public. People who go to those restaurants often want to, they're interested in healthy food. They want to make what they've eaten in some cases. And they've heard that it's local, and they've heard from their server that, oh, we got, you know, this asparagus at the farmer's market. And then, so I think that has supported farmers, you know, a public that goes to the farmer's market.
And there's a term out there I keep seeing, farm to restaurant. Is that what you're talking about, farm to restaurant?
Farm to table.
Farm to table. Okay.
And yes, and that that's actually a fairly new term that kind of, I think it's a term that follows the trend. Usually the term starts and then the trend grows out of it. I think that there was a lot of farm to table going on before the term farm to table was coined and accepted.
Annie, what do you think is fueling the interest in farmers markets, and why do we have so many in this area?
Well, I absolutely agree what Anna and Jenny said. There's just so many people that want to know where their food comes from. They want to know what's in their food. And, you know, we're blessed in this region to have a vibrant urban center with a lot of walkable communities that have farmers markets. But a lot of our farms are a little bit outside of the area. I grow in northern Kentucky in Boone County, and I meet a lot of farmers at the farmers markets from Indiana. Great agricultural lands. Jenny touched on the fact that there's a lot of tobacco lands that are now converting over to, you know, vegetable production. And so as a farmer, I love being able to come into the city for a few hours, see a lot of faces, talk to my customers, and everyone is really interested to know, you know, what are you growing? What's coming up next? What do I do with these beets that you have here on your table? it's a much different experience than just walking to the grocery store. And a lot of people, you know, in the Cincinnati area may not have direct access to a grocery store nearby in walking distance. And so the weekly farmers market is a great way to just walk down the street, see some farmers, get some fresh produce, bread, other things that are being sold at the farmers markets.
So tell us about your farm, Darkwood Farm.
Yeah.
How did that get started? When did you start that?
I actually started it last year. I grew up in the northern Kentucky area and lived out of the area for 10 years. And I was working on a farm outside of Seattle and decided it was time to go back home and grow the kind of food that, you know, I wanted to eat. Some organic produce, you know, fresh vegetables. So I moved back home last year and started renting land. And it's just an acre, but you would be surprised the amount of produce that comes off of an acre. So from the beginning of May to the end of November, we're at the farmer's market twice a week, bringing our produce into Cincinnati.
How much can you produce with an acre of land?
Oh, it's hard to quantify by pounds, but I mean, you know, our table is pretty much stocked, you know, every farmer's market. And we grow 60 different types of vegetables on the farm, and that changes from season to season. So, you know, when you show up to the farmer's market in May, you're not going to see the same vegetables that you do this time of year. So it's kind of exciting as a shopper, I think, to come to the market and try new things as the seasons change.
Jenny, is there a prime time for farmers markets?
Well, whenever they're open. As a consumer, I just, what Annie was, to touch on what Annie was saying, I have always found going to a farmer's market to be more than just shopping. It's really always been a thing to do, and to bring my daughter. The most established, the biggest farmers markets have music. They have crafts for kids. You run into neighbors. You talk to growers. You make friendships, and you eat because there are people selling prepared foods. So it's always been more than shopping. It's a real community experience and just kind of a fun thing to do.
Is that right? A lot of it's the experience of the whole farmers market.
It is. A good bit of what we do at the Northside Farmers Market is also planning activities and programs. So we have $3 kids cooking classes a couple times a month. We have adult workshops. We have a kids craft every single week for free. We have music every week, and then sort of special events that come up as well. So it is a fun event, and it's also, I think what we're hearing here is an educational event as well. You get to learn about the food that you're eating and meet those who are growing it. So, and I did kind of want to return because to your question of if there's like a prime farmer's market time, and I think people think it's the summer. We see the most people.
I think it would be the fall, because I love the fall.
Right, I know those, and that's part of the educational process, is that we see the most customers June and July, and then it starts to drop off a little bit, but we're open year-round in the wintertime as well, and we have lettuce year-round. We have carrots and beets and cabbage and potatoes, sweet potatoes, squash, like all these vegetables. And Cincinnati actually has quite a few neighborhood farmers markets that are open in the winter as well. So kind of like Jenny said, whenever they're open is a good time to go. So that's all season, really.
A lot of them move indoors for the cold season. And they still have crafts and music and things. They tend to sort of boost crafts and soaps and things like that.
And you know, it's not just produce and crafts and things like that. I mean, there's baked goods, right? There are all kinds of food items you can get at a farmer's market.
Yeah, this is so much fun to talk about. We have two bakers, and they do pastries and croissants. We have an eclair maker who makes a million different flavors of eclairs and cream puffs. They're authentic. He's from France. We have prepared Italian foods. We have bubble tea. We have locally roasted coffee. We have fermented foods. So that's like sauerkraut and pickles. And we have a soap vendor that comes every week. There are so many different food items beyond sort of just the produce. There's eggs and there's the meats. We have somebody who makes vinegar on occasion. It's yeah, we have a lot of stuff.
Jenny, is that the case with a lot of the farmers markets, that they're very diverse in what they have to offer?
Well, yes. Most farmers markets managers, I believe, will try to balance what they have. So if they have a meat provider, a couple of meats providers, they'll make sure they'll balance it with vegetables and with a jewelry maker. And there's one, there's Blue Oven Breads that often has lines, people waiting for them to open. There's a pizza, a vendor who brings their own pizza oven and parks. So, you know, it's a little bit like a festival, but without, without the entry fee.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And what's your favorite farmer's market? Where do you frequent? Again, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Annie, you're growing things on a seasonal basis. Anna was talking about how the offerings can be seasonal up where at the Northside Market. Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing with what you're doing when you grow?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that most people don't realize when you come to the farmer's market, and let's say you buy a winter squash, like a butternut squash, you're getting it in September or October, but you don't realize that the farmer actually started that from seed maybe back in April or May, and then put it in the ground and let it grow and then harvested it and is now bringing it to the market. So farmers are always thinking a few months ahead about what they're going to be bringing to the market. And everything happens on a seasonal basis here. We have a very strong spring, summer, and fall with a lot different kind of weather conditions. And so what you see at the market is definitely going to change from month to month. And what Anna touched on about having some year-round produce, there's some farms in the area that are using some things like high tunnels, which is sort of a form of greenhouse where you can grow things into the cold weather. And so even though we may have frost and snow on the ground, there are some farmers that can still produce certain types of produce even in December and January, which is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people realize that you can get fresh produce in this area in the winter.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that. So what kinds of things with fall coming up? What will be the types of produce that we see in the fall?
Oh, fall is such a great time of year. Fall is actually my favorite season, probably because it's a lot more comfortable to work on the farm in the cool weather. But also, we just have so many great root crops like beets and carrots, turnips and parsnips, things that actually get sweeter as the weather gets colder. Lots of great greens that come up when the weather cools down, such as lettuces, kale, chard. We have beautiful winter squash coming on, potatoes, crazy things you may have never seen, like sunchokes, which is a little tuber that's sort of like
a potato. No.
Okay. Yeah, they grow around here really well, and it's one of the things that you can get late into the season in November or December.
Megan Gambrill, the crop manager at Turner Farm, described this moment right now to me as kind of the perfect sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Just before, like as the squash are starting to come in, the winter squash, and when there's a lot of lettuces, and just it's sort of the end of the corn and tomatoes, but lots of lettuces, and she said it's just kind of a perfect moment.
Now, Annie's farm is just an acre in size. Anna, do you know the average size of the farmers that supply Northside? Are they mostly small local farms?
Yeah, a lot of our farms are small. So we even have some urban farms. So we have someone at Running Creek Farm. They have about, I would say, less than an acre in Mount Healthy. So we go kind of from very small in the urban areas and small farms like Annie's out in the country, but then we have some larger farms, especially those who do meat. And so it's going to be, you know, 30-acre farms and such. So we have a pretty good variety of sort of smaller farms that focus on maybe more interesting varieties that might take a little more attention. And then we have bigger farms that have lots of room and space for things like potatoes and squash and corn and meat products as well.
And we'll continue our conversation about farmers markets. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. Let us know what your favorite farmers market is to frequent. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon as we talk about farmers' markets around Greater Cincinnati and what they have to offer, Anna Bird, who's manager of Northside Farmers Market, Darkwood farm owner Annie Woods, and Jenny Berman, farm-to-table reporter for WCPO.com. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jenny, what are the benefits of shopping at a farmer's market? I mean, there have to be a lot of different things, how it benefits the environment, the economy, and things like that, right?
Well, exactly. There are so many ways that you're kind of doing good without, even as you're just entertaining yourself and shopping for your table, you are supporting the economy by being a customer to small farms, which in turn enables enables people to, more farmers to get into the market. Then you are also really helping the environment by supporting this industry, because the practices they use are good for the environment. They're not just not doing harm, they're doing good. And that is an extremely valuable thing. You're supporting your own health, which people don't think of it this way, but that supports the environment and the economy. So it's just a really healthy way to participate in being on the right side of environmental justice.
Yeah. So just sort of for example, at our market, different markets have different policies, but all of our farmers grow basically within a 70-mile radius of the 45223 Northside zip code. So just thinking about that process, they are on that farm that's within 70 miles of Cincinnati, and then they're picking that produce that morning. They're only transporting it those 70 miles versus coming from California or even overseas. And then it ends up on your plate that night. So it's minimal refrigeration. We're saving electricity, we're saving gas, we're saving, a lot of environmental components that way.
So you are the epitome of eating local then, right?
We really are, yeah.
Also biodiversity, mm-hmm. because small farmers use seeds that aren't convenient for mono farming, and they preserve seeds that might otherwise go extinct.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though my farm is only an acre, I have about 8 different seed catalogs that I use, and a lot of those seeds come from other small farmers around the region, and I'm able to grow lots of different types of lettuce, not just one type, and different heirloom varieties, and really focus on things that are not just yielding pounds and pounds of produce, but that are really flavorful. Because, for example, our heirloom tomatoes, they're so nice and soft and squishy and full of sugars and delicious. And I can pick them in the morning on Wednesday and come to Northside Farmers Market, and you can pick them up that day. They don't have to cross the country in a truck. And so a lot of people who are growing on a large scale are growing tomatoes that are nice and hard so they can go in a truck across the country. But you don't have to do that. If you're just bringing to a local market, you can really focus on flavor and nutrition and variety.
And organic farmers also are planting things like cover crops that add to the soil as opposed to depleting it. And so their practices are healthy for the soil, which means often that they use a lot less, they always use less chemicals, but the soil itself is healthier after being organically farmed.
We got a question from Kristen on Facebook. She just bought 5 acres. So how does one start selling at local markets? What's the process? Anna, is that something you can field, or,
yeah.
or Annie probably has some advice on this too?
Yeah, I could tell you a little about the process. When I moved back to the area, last year, I actually kind of went online and was looking, what are the markets in Cincinnati? Where do I want to sell? You kind of have to plan several months ahead of time. You know, you're filling out an application several months before the market starts. And there's normally maybe a small application fee that you have to fill. But you also have to know, for the farmers market managers, what you're going to sell at the market. So if you're starting a new farm, you really have to have a plan in place as to what you're going to sell, what you're going to bring to the market, and provide that information to market managers. And it always helps to go in person to the markets and talk to the manager, meet them, meet some of the other farmers, and decide if that's the right place for you to sell.
How much of an effort went into coming up with your plan?
I moved back here in January, which mm-hmm. isn't a great time to try and put things in the ground. So I had a lot of time to sit down and plan out my crop schedule. And luckily, I had the experience of working at a farm for a couple of years. So I had learned from the farmers I worked for how to do that. But it's something I'm always learning and changing and doing. And really, you just have to kind of go out and try some things and have some successes and failures before you know what you're doing, really.
Anna, any advice for Kristen?
Yeah, I would say also do a little market research. So I think in Cincinnati, we still, on the farmers market scene, there are maybe some gaps in products. So in the winter, we can always use more winter products. So if you have the resources to start an infrastructure for winter gardening, then that would be a great place to go. Also to see if there's varieties and types of produce that aren't maybe as available, as abundant. And as market managers, we like it when someone says, hey, I've got a special product that would fit perfectly in your market. And so we like that.
Also, there are food, organic, sustainable distributors that you might want to speak with, like Ohio Valley Food Cooperative and Green Bean Delivery or Tiny Footprint. And they help new farmers make their farming plans.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. And let's talk with Dick in Hyde Park. Hi, Dick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I live two blocks from the Hyde Park Farmers Market, the Sunday Market. I play in a band that's played at the Hyde Park and Madera Farmers Markets. I've waited in line for Blue Oven Bread.
I've probably seen you.
very possibly. But I wanted to give a shout out to Farmers Market, which is a totally different experience. No artisan soaps.
And that was Lunkin Farmers Market? Lunkin. Is there? Okay.
Yeah, down by the Lunkin Airport. It's been there for probably 30 years. And these are just a bunch of folks, farmers from the area, who haul in trucks full of produce and set up. And, we go there frequently. And it's just a totally different experience. I don't know. In some ways, it's not as boutique-y or, dare I say, hipster as the other farmers' markets. But
just the basics, folks, right?
The basics, and been around for a long time doing this.
Okay.
And so I think you just really need to include that kind of thing.
I've heard great things about Lunkin Farmers Market.
Yeah.
I actually had my very first farmers market experience at that market when I was about 10 years old. My uncle used to raise 2 acres of tomatoes, and on really busy days he would have me and my cousins go and help him sell. He was the tomato man. That was a really wonderful market and kind of where I had my first experience with farmers markets.
Let's talk with John in Madera. Hi, John.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
All right. You know, I live in Madera, and I would like to put a plug in for Madera's farmers market because it's easily accessible. It has everything that you guys have mentioned. Turner Farm is there. And we also get great barbecue. You know, Velvet Smoke comes down, and they set up their booths, and you can get brisket, and you can get, pulled pork, and, you know, all that great smoked beef, and it's awesome. It's awesome. And then Loveland has an excellent farmer's market as well. And, of course, as the first guest mentioned, Hyde Park is great. But also, I'm retired, and I grew up in Mount Lookout, and I remember in the 70s, going down to Lunkin's Farmers Market, and it's really amazing. And the thing that is nice about it is that it's open for longer hours. So if you want to go to a farmer's market and there isn't one open, you want to go in the morning, you want to go a little later in the afternoon, Lunkin's there for you.
Hey, John, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're all great markets. All of us market managers get together a few times a year and talk shop, farmers market.
So there's a lot of collaboration among
you. Yeah, yeah. We have a Southwest Ohio chapter of market managers, and there's a statewide one as well. And Leah manages the Madeira, and Donna manages the Loveland market. They both built up those markets as well. I have good things to say about them.
And don't forget Finley.
Oh, yeah.
Finley.
Yep.
Yeah, on Saturdays and Sundays, there's the farm shed open, and a lot of farmers from the area come in, pull their trucks in, and sell off the back of their truck. I'm there on Sundays, but I know there's a whole lot of farms there on Saturdays as well. And so it's great. A lot of people come in, and they go to get some food and listen to music and do their shopping and then pick up some local produce from the farmers there.
Let's talk with Stuart in Montgomery. Hi, Stuart.
Hi. Don't forget Montgomery either.
Yeah.
But my question is to talk about community. Montgomery tries pretty hard to help cultivate community as well as fresh food and help the local food artisans. There's a booth for nonprofits to use and space for local businesses to use and watch the market grow from, it's 6 years now, watched it grow from couple hundred people to many times more that over the years, and that's just a very cool thing to see, that feeling of community when you see neighbors come and see each other and look forward to coming on Saturday morning.
Thank you, Stuart. We appreciate the call.
Yes, that really is, again, I can't stress this enough, how much it really is just a satisfying experience to be at a farmer's market as a customer, and I've also helped behind the counter a few times, and I've done some volunteer work, and just to see people just strolling around and talking to each other. Most of the farmers love to, you know, they'll tell you how to cook those beans, and they like to talk about what they do, and it's, they like their customers. They, you know, it's very personal.
Absolutely. I love seeing my regulars every week and carrying on conversations, and it's fun. You see a couple strolling through the market in May, and, you know, now in August they have a little baby with them, and, you know, you kind of weekly are following along with what's going on in their lives.
But that is one of the benefits of a farmer's market. You've got contact with your customer. They have contact with you. They know exactly where their food's coming
from.
Yeah,
absolutely, and there's great feedback as to what they want to see next year, so I can start planning that out, yeah.
Let's talk with Bud in Over the Rhine. Hi, Bud. Hi, Bud. Are you there? Okay, so we've lost. Oh, are you there, Bud?
This is Justin.
Oh, Justin. Okay, he wrote Bud for some odd reason. But go right ahead.
Hey, I just want to let everybody know, Stephen Williams from Bouquet Restaurant in Covington and myself and a few others, Richard Stewart from Madhouse Vinegar and Carriage House Farms, we're starting a local chapter of the Chef's Collaborative, which I'm on the national board of, and it's all about locally sourcing produce and proteins for restaurants and institutions based on antibiotic and hormone-free meats and organic gardening. But it's an amazing national group, and we look to get a lot more chefs here in Cincinnati involved.
Okay, thank you, Bud. We appreciate the call.
And do many of your chefs shop at the farmers markets? Are you still there?
He may not be there.
Pardon?
Oh, there he is.
Pardon?
Justin?
I'm wondering
if
some of you chefs shop at the farmers markets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Stephen Williams is one of the leaders here locally. And then we've got, many others. I mean, Julie Francis. We've got Mike Flory at Maribel's, who does a great job. Jose Salazar, who's got Salazar's and Mita's. I'm actually in OTR right now picking in my garden, getting ready to make deliveries to Soto, Mita, and also Bouquet Restaurant.
Justin, thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. And thanks to the three of you for joining me this afternoon. Darkwood farm owner Annie Woods, Jenny Berman, who is farm-to-table reporter for WCPO.com, and Anna Bird, Northside Farmers Market Manager. Anna will join us in the next half of the show as we hear about a program to provide low-income families more and better access to fresh produce. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.